Hi, today's April 18th, 2021. I'm Todd Agassa-Ward, my good friend John Westfall, and this is Mobile Views Podcast 359. We're going to title it Laptop Phone Home. I haven't read John's blog yet, so I'm looking forward to...
Todd's titling something that he does not know if it's good, bad, whatever.
It's John. It's got to be good.
Extraterrestrials.
Hey, that'd be awesome. That'd be better than good.
Yeah. I found out that my laptop came from Mars.
That'd be pretty cool. It'd be pretty cool. Most of it, I think, we're going to be talking about just some of the speculation that's going on for the Apple's event on Tuesday, April 20th. I don't know, John.
So, April 20th, the note I put in our show notes is
yeah.
that it's at 10 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Central, the time yeah. that all year I've been annoyed by. And that's
Why?
Because this year,
yeah,
due to commitments I had at work, I scheduled a 12:15 Tuesday-Thursday class this year, both in the fall and the spring. So all year, the iPhone launch, the
right.
Apple Watch 6 launch,
right.
this, I have not been able to watch live. I've had to wait until later in the day when I have time and then either watch the whole thing or, you know, try to avoid spoilers, watch the whole thing delayed. Today, this time, I don't have anything after class, so I might be able to go back to my office and sit there and watch it an hour later.
Okay, wait a minute. But you don't want spoilers? So... You don't want me to text you if there's something I think you want to buy?
No, you can.
Okay.
It's more like, you know, I did have one, I forget which launch it was, where just all day I had stuff after the thing. And it wasn't
right.
until 6 or 7 o'clock at night. And by then, everyone was talking about
right.
everything. And
you felt left out.
So, yeah, this year is the only year that I've really done that, where I've put a class at that time, and I'll be glad
Never
next
again.
Year to get away from that. Yeah,
never
then
again.
It takes up my lunch hour on Tuesday, Thursday. So if I can
right.
avoid a 12:15 class, I generally do.
All right. It's actually kind of a long list of speculated announcements. We don't have any confirmation any of this. John and I have no. Well, I don't know about John. I have no sources of influential leakers. I'm just reading stuff online. That's where I'm getting my information. Mm-hmm. So, the first one, I kind of don't know how to feel because I bought a new iPad Pro in 2019. Yeah, I think I bought it. Or was it last year? I can't even remember anymore. Anyway, I've got an iPad Pro 11 with LiDAR built into it.
Yeah.
I can't remember that 2019. Anyway, it's pretty recent. Works well, and now it works well. I had to have it replaced once because it was a system problem, and it was kind of flaky for a while, but after a bunch of upgrades, it's fine. The only two rumors I've heard about the iPad Pro are that the 12.9-inch model, and only the 12.9-inch model, might get a mini LED for its display, which to me is meh, because I'm not going to buy a 12.9-inch device. At least I don't think so. And two, it might switch to the M1 processor that's used in some of the Macs now, including the MacBook Air I bought last year. I don't know, John. You just bought an iPad last year, didn't you?
I bought one in 2018.
Very okay.
end of 2018. So mine is getting to about the low end of potentially replace. And I've thought about what I would need to replace it, and I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure there's anything on the list right now that would be convincing enough for me.
Same here.
But you never quite know. They could have something completely awesome that we aren't aware of.
Yeah. Yeah. And as I said, after a bunch of updates, and I should note that the iPad Pro 11 I have has been flaky as all get out since almost the day I got it. It is currently stable, so, you know... perform your favorite superstitious ritual, knock on wood, whatever. So I'm not going to knock it. It's okay now. But, you know, I can't imagine what would be in a new iPad Pro that would make me say, yeah, you know, I need to replace my perfectly fine 2019 model or whatever I have.
Yeah, and that's sort of where I'm at with what I'm at now. And plus that 12.9 size. I had the original 12.9 iPad
yeah.
Pro, the original iPad
right.
Pro.
The only size it had back then, right?
Yeah. And I couldn't really justify carrying it around and a laptop.
It's huge.
Why would you do both?
Yeah.
It sort of doesn't make too much sense. So I don't know what to make of that 12.9 size. It seems like if you're going to do that, you just carry around a MacBook.
That's what I think, too. Which is, you know, what I, well, the reason I bought the M1 MacBook. It's great. Perfect size, blah, blah, blah. Very fast, runs cool. Okay, the next rumored product for Tuesday, I'm really kind of interested in, you know, if it does something interesting, and that's the Apple Pencil 3. So I've got the Apple Pencil 1 with the, you know, ridiculously dumb charging design. I've got the Apple Pencil 2, which works great and has a reasonable charging design. The rumor for the Apple Pencil 3 is that it's going to be glossy, whoop-de-doo. might be available in the black color as well as the white color. Okay, whoop-de-doo. I prefer a lighter color, any color, yellow, green, whatever. Because I think I would lose a very dark gray or black small, thin device, you know. And the other thing, I really don't know what this means. It says it might have a spring-loaded tip, like some of the Wacoms. And I don't know what that means, John. What would the spring-loaded tip do for you?
I don't know how useful that would be, because it seems like Apple has gone through a lot of effort to make a non-spring-loaded work pretty well. So I don't know if this is just someone saying, well, they haven't done that yet, so maybe that's what they're going to do next.
Yeah.
I would like, the thing that would get me to upgrade my Apple Pencil would be if it was usable across all my devices.
Yeah.
So an Apple Pencil that I could use on my iPad, my iPhone, and potentially an iPad Mini that I might get. So,
yeah.
But we'll talk iPad Mini in a few minutes.
Yeah. I will say one thing that's completely unfounded. There is no basis for anything I'm going to say for the next few seconds. I put it on Twitter. Just to, you know, be amusing. But the more I think about it, the more I like it. The two features I would like, I think would be interesting at least, if for the Apple Pencil 3, is if you could wave it like a wand. You know, like in Harry Potter. And, you know, you could wave it and it would do stuff, right? It would, you know, activate something, it would close something. I think that'd be kind of interesting. And if it were gesture-based, you could use it with a non-touch MacBook. So that would be interesting.
Well, let's remember that there is actually a learn to code kit out there that gives you a wand, and then you can.
I did not know that.
Code iPad. Yeah, I'll put a link in our show notes. But yeah, this exists, but it's only within, of course, the walled garden of this coding kit. But
yeah, yeah, still fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing, and actually now the more I think about it, it really doesn't need a modification to Apple Pencil 3. But if I could use some simple voice, you know, Siri, if Siri is smart enough, and you know, we have our doubts about Siri's intelligence, but, oh, Siri just activated on my MacBook Pro. Any rate. And the other thing that would be interesting is if there were a Siri integration, so that when you're using your Apple Pencil or anything really, any device with an iPad, you could tell it something like undo. You can just say undo, change color, change, you know, brush thickness or pen thickness or whatever, and you know, without having to go to the menu. I think that'd be kind of interesting. So, anyway, unfounded. No, Siri still wants to talk to me. No, Siri, I don't want to talk to you. So unfounded, not even a rumor, just unfounded speculation, wishful thinking for Apple Pencil 3. Okay, next thing I'm kind of, sort of interesting, if the price is right, and there's speculation about the iPad Pro Magic Keyboard getting a revision, Magic Keyboard 2. The current model is interesting, but way too expensive, and I've been I shouldn't say surprisingly happy. They're good products. I am really happy with the Anker ArtTek, ArtTek, by the way, ArtTek, and Logitech Bluetooth keyboards I've bought over the last couple of years, each of which is less than $50. So, you know, it's hard for me to justify spending over $200 when I have, you know, mm-hmm. sub $50 products that I'm very happy with and I use daily. I don't know, John, did you get the fancy dancing Magic Keyboard?
Well, I did not get the Magic Keyboard. I still have the Keyboard Folio from Apple that I have to replace about once a year because the trace lines between the keyboard and the magnetic backing die. And I did buy one more recently on eBay as they're starting to get older. I mean, you can buy them used on eBay for around $20 now because they've been out 3 or 4 years. But yeah, that's also going to be when I switch iPads. When that second one dies, or it'll be actually be the third one I've had, or fourth one. Let's see, original, and then I'm on. Yeah, so it'll be the fourth one that I've had to have. So about 1 year. When it dies, I'll probably get a new iPad in general. I like the Apple keyboards, but man, the quality control on them is just abysmal.
And as you know, mine died like within a year, and I couldn't get it replaced, and I just gave up on them. And it was expensive, you know, for what you got. It was like $100, I think I paid, maybe more, for the Folio keyboard case. Yeah, I think it was more than $100. It worked okay while it worked, but it broke so quickly that it was like, you know. I'm super happy with the Anker Architect Logitech kind of keyboards, and they're, you know, I can buy all three, and still I think it's cheaper than that. I can buy all three. I can buy multiples of all three, and it'd still be cheaper than buying one Magic Keyboard. You know, it's the way to think about it. Okay, so if it's I won't say cheap. If it's less expensive than the $250 or whatever it costs right now, yeah, I take a look at it. I do use a keyboard frequently. In fact, with my iPad Mini, I use it every day. I fire up my Anker Bluetooth keyboard every day, and I use it to take notes. Okay, next up, which kind of affects everything, is iOS 14.5. You know, I don't even know what's new in iOS 14.5, except for one feature that I'm really waiting for, and that's the ability to unlock the iPhone with a face mask on, using the Apple Watch. So that one feature alone has me waiting for 14.5. I don't know what else is new. Probably a bunch of new emojis or something. I haven't really looked it up.
The thing I wish was that this also extended to the iPad. But I do not think it does. I think this only extends to the iPhone. There's enough times where I'm using an iPad with a face mask on, and I would like to be able to quickly unlock it.
You know, because the only iPad I have that has face recognition is the iPad Pro 2019 or whatever I bought. You know, the one with the LiDAR built into it, and I only use it at home, so you know it's not a problem. The iPad Mini 5 that I carry with me daily has a fingerprint unlock, so even if I have a face mask on, fingerprint unlock is not quite as consistent as the face recognition, but you know it's consistent enough that it doesn't really bother me. So interesting. All right, and the product I am most interested in is the rumor of an iPad Mini 6 being announced, and these rumors are all over the place. It'll have no bezel. It still has a giant bezel. It kind of has a smaller bezel. That's really the only thing I've been hearing about it. You know, the most interesting one to me is smaller bezel, same physical size but bigger screen. That would be a winner for me.
If I could get it and it could do an Apple Pencil, then it would be like an Apple Pencil 2.
Two, yeah.
A good Apple Pencil.
Yeah, exactly.
Or 3, which presumably will be good. Yeah. If I could do that, then I would buy, I wouldn't say completely, not 100%, but I'd be likely to buy a mini, just because I do miss the mini's form factor, I miss the size.
It's great.
It was very nice for reading in bed and things like that, and my full-size iPad still is just a little heavy sometimes when I'm half awake and wanting to read something or play a game or those sorts of things. I end up using my iPhone quite a bit. Even though the iPad is sitting there right next to me.
Well, you've got the iPhone Pro Max, so you've got the relatively giant screen, right? I mean, it's only slightly smaller than iPad Mini, I think.
That's true.
So iPad Mini 6, to me, that's number one on my interest list and the most likely product I would buy. And as John said, if it's compatible with the rumored Apple Pencil 3, I would probably buy that too, especially if it's compatible with the older iPad Pros, which I hope it is, but maybe not. It's hard to say. Okay, the next one, we've been hearing about this for years. I'm not sure how interested I am in it. I always thought it intriguing. It's AirTags, or whatever Apple's going to call them.
Yeah, this was more intriguing to me before they opened up the ecosystem to anyone who wanted to create their own, in essence, their tags. Mm. Which I assume is why Apple did open up that ecosystem, because they realized they could probably make a lot more money with other people hooking into that versus them selling a clone of the Tile tracker.
Yeah.
Which I'll be very curious, speaking of Tile, to see if Tile starts supporting the Find My app, or if Tile is still going to use their own app for everything.
Do you use Tile for anything?
I had used it in the past, so I am not a good target market for Tile because I don't tend to misplace things. So, but I did buy a 4-pack of Tiles once and played with one of them, and then I gave a couple of them to a friend who did chronically misplace her key all the time, and it was a good thing for her. But I don't really see myself needing to track these things. Now, I mean, I could say I could throw it in my bag, but there's usually an iPad or, you know, an iPhone in my bag, which already sort of acts as a smart tracker.
So, right. Yeah.
I think I'll probably skip for now unless there's a really cool use scenario or something.
Yeah, I bought my wife a Tile I don't know, about a year or two ago, because she frequently misplaces her phone. They're not lost. It's just, you know, it's somewhere in the house, and she forgot where she put it. And so, you know, I got to call her phone or something. She may have misplaced the Tile. I'm not sure if she's using it or not. I should ask. My problem with these tracking Tiles is that they all have a limited life, because they all have batteries, I believe, right? If I could find a really, you know, a programmable... I mean, I know they're there. I'm just too lazy to go buy one and do stuff with it. A passive programmable, not so much a tracker, but I guess just an RFID tag that I could say, hey, this is my, you know, whatever, you know, my baseball mitts from when I was a kid. It's in this box. And you know, key it to that. And whenever I go to a storage unit or running around my house and trying to find stuff, I could see, you know, keyword coded stuff. That would last forever. And would last, you know, past my lifetime. So if my daughter needed to find stuff, you know, she'd be able to easily identify where stuff, where items are. I would buy that, but we'll see. We'll see how much the AirTags cost and what they actually do and all that. Okay, the next one is, I think, moderately interesting. And that's only because John and I already have the current AirPods Pro. And that's AirPods 3, which is not Pro. It's the follow-up to the long-stem AirPods. My understanding is they're going to get some of the AirPods Pro design and features, in which case I'm not sure why we have a Pro and why we have AirPods. But I haven't really read much about it to say why somebody would... I mean, unless it's going to be super inexpensive, like under $100. Then I think it'd be pretty interesting. Because there are some pretty competitive wireless earbuds now that are in the, you know, half the price of AirPods. So, I don't know. And, you know, anybody might be interested in this, John? I mean, maybe students, I guess.
Yeah, students might be. People who have never had Apple AirPods people who, you know, are kind of wish they had a step up from what their Bluetooth AirPods do. You know, one of the descriptions I give of Apple products is that you can find very nice Bluetooth AirPods or anything. It's just that you're going to have to make some compromises that you won't have to with the Apple version.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, with Bluetooth, it typically is sometimes pairing issues, repairing issues, battery issues, that sort of thing. So I could see someone who has had a bargain pair of AirPods for a while that would like the real thing just to avoid some of those headaches.
Yeah, really good point. And, you know, for people in Hawaii, they ship to Hawaii. A lot of the AirPod competitors won't ship to Hawaii from Amazon, for example, because they have batteries in them. You know, and they just don't allow it. Some do, some don't. I don't know what the difference, why some do and some don't. I've ordered other headphones, you know, with rechargeable batteries. Like I'm holding up, I don't know if John can see it. Let me look at my camera. I'm holding up a pair of Anchor I forget, Soundcore, I think they're called Soundcores. They're over the head, they're not wireless earbuds, they're over the head headphones. They pretty decent microphone, very nice sound to me, especially since I think I paid $70 for it, something like that. And they work great. So, and they ship to Hawaii. You know, I bought it through Amazon. So I don't know why some batteries can be shipped to Hawaii, rechargeable batteries shipped to Hawaii, and some don't. But it's just the way it is. Might be
some
the
companies like you and some don't.
Yeah. I remember reading a while back that one of the requirements for shipping rechargeable lithium-ion batteries to Hawaii, you know, devices with rechargeable lithium-ion batteries, is they had to be discharged to 30% or less of full capacity before they would allow shipping via air. And so I wonder, you know, if some the things that I do buy, the manufacturers, and I tend to charge things as soon as I get them, so I really don't know what level they shipped at. I do know a few things came in dead, so that might be it. Some vendors and distributors are willing to discharge the batteries and, you know, and then pack them and then send them off, whereas others don't. Not quite sure. But AirPods 3, we'll have to wait and see, I guess, what that thing is like. Okay, next, I don't really care about. John, I don't know if you still use an Apple TV. Are you using an Apple TV at all?
I do use an Apple TV, and I find it interesting because you mentioned the price point. You know, Apple TV is more expensive than Roku, but if you mm-hmm. look at the Roku HDR 4K, that's going to come in at around $99 for the HDR 4K, mm-hmm. and the Apple TV version is $179. So it's not a huge difference, although you are right that there are bargain Rokus that are much better mm-hmm. You know, price points in the $30 and $40 range. But yeah, I use an Apple TV, and mine has remained alive for quite a while now. I thought I was going to have to replace it. But the only thing that really would make me pull the trigger on a new Apple TV right now would be a redesigned remote, because the Apple TV remote, honestly, is just not a great remote.
No, it's not.
Minimalistic. It works, but it's never had a level of precision that I've liked. With its touchpad on the top, so
yeah.
I might consider it if they had a new remote.
Right. I've only had one Apple TV. It was the second generation, the one that kind of looked like a tiny Mac Mini. And when it worked pretty good, but it died pretty quick. I think it died in less than 2 years on me, you know, right after the warranty expired. And at that point, I said, I'll just switch to Roku. I already had, you know, one Roku, I think. And so just everything I bought from then on were just simply Rokus. I think I buy the mid-range ones, which have like 4K. Although I don't have any 4K displays, so it's just sort of aspirational. But I bought the mid-range 4Ks. And at Sam's Club, where I tend to buy, you know, Sam's and Costco are my two centers of technology. Sam's Club, I think I paid like $60, $50 for, you know, 4K device. An outboard device. It's not one of those that plugs into the HDMI port or anything. It's a, you know, little box, like a Mac Mini, or like a Mac Mini used to look, and much smaller. And it works great. And the thing I really liked about the Rokus, especially when I switched and why I was getting frustrated with Apple, is because at the time, I think Apple's opened up since then, but at the time, Apple was really, you know, focused on their own ecosystem. And so I think they had Netflix and, you know, maybe a Disney thing, and then Apple TV stuff. You know, their own. And it was not Apple TV Plus. It was just, you know, buying content through iTunes Store. Whereas the Roku let me use whatever. They had a little bit of a kerfuffle HBO Max, but that's been fixed. So, you know, you can stream practically anything over a Roku, which is not true for an Apple TV. And that plus the, you know, the price. And I thought, what does it really do that I need that the Roku doesn't? And answer was not much. I don't know what it's. I guess you can play games on it. I don't know if you do that, John.
I was telling my wife the other day, I really wish that Apple would flesh out the app ecosystem for the Apple TV, because there are a lot of things that I could see being very useful on a large screen device.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of apps that you could use, but all the apps that you see on Apple TV are either games that honestly don't play that well unless you have a controller, or streaming apps that are not all that impressive and amazing to me. They're just content apps.
Yeah. And to be honest, I don't, you know, although I'm happy with the Rokus, I don't use them as much as I could, because I don't watch things on television anymore, you know, on a big screen. I just plop up my iPad and, tend to watch things there while I'm puttering around and doing other things or working. Not day work, but, you know, kind of night work, preparing for the blogs and doing my daily doodle project, that kind of stuff. But, okay, I mean, you know, I'm willing to be convinced. Okay, the last set of products, as rumored, is probably not going to happen, in my opinion, because new Macs are usually announced during WWDC, the Worldwide Developers Conference. I'm not sure. I don't think I need it. I'm so happy with my M1-based MacBook Air. I can't think of anything I need.
I'm in the same boat, so I don't think we're going to see new Macs, but you never know. And the other thing that I don't think we'll see, but you never know, would be a value iPhone. But since we have the Mini right now, I think that's sort of, and we have the SE was just refreshed last fall, so I don't think we'll see a value iPhone.
Right. And iPhones.
Because we have the Apple Watch SE as well.
Oh, yeah, there's no rumors about a new Apple Watch, but the iPhones and Apple Watch models tend to be announced in the fall, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
Not always, but tend to.
It's been a few years since they pulled a spring reveal on that.
Yeah. So, that's actually interesting. I wonder if they're going to do it. There's been rumors about more health kind of things on the Apple Watch coming soon. I think blood sugar, a glucose analysis, and what was the other one? Blood pressure, maybe? I think Fitbit, which is now owned by Google, Fitbit Sense, I think is beta testing some of that. I think my daughter might have a Fitbit Sense. I'll ask her if she joined the beta for that. I'm really interested in the biometric kind of things that that may be possible. Oh, John's typing something in our show notes now. Wow, I didn't realize that. Wow.
Yeah. So as we were talking about the Apple Watch, I was thinking, you know what? The Apple Watch was a spring release, and next Saturday, April 24th, is going to be the birthday of the Apple Watch. So the sixth birthday since it was released in 2015.
Yep. And for the geeks amongst you, speaking of birthdays, for the geeks amongst you, FTP, the venerable, mostly, I think of it as a Unix utility, but it's available on all platforms these days. But the file transfer protocol is 50 years old, I think, as of a few days ago. So happy birthday to FTP. And even if you don't think you use it, you probably do. It's probably buried in something you do to move data for you.
Yeah, you've used it at some point.
Yep. Yep. Okay, now I want to hear John's story.
So this is my quick little tech tip or idea. I call it laptop phone home. The genesis of this is I have a MacBook that runs remote desktop, basically the VNC server that's built into macOS.
Mm-hmm.
And I use this around the house quite a bit. You know, see if I'm working on something and I don't want to get up and go check the progress, I can just VNC in from my iPad or iPhone and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm traveling and when I'm at work, I can't do this, obviously, because A, I might not always know what my IP address is on my work network. And B, if I'm at a work network or even with someone else's home network, I can't really easily tell them, hey, open this port for me or allow this traffic or those sorts of things. So the solution to that is that I can use my virtual private network connection to my home network. My router at home supports OpenVPN, so I can always connect to my home network, and then my MacBook gets IP on my home network, and I can connect to it, you know, from another VPN-in connection and get to it. The problem, though, then becomes, what if I have set up my laptop and I've walked away, I've gone to a meeting, or I've gone, you know, downstairs in my friend's house, and they say, hey, you know, what's going on with this? And I go, oh, it's on my computer. Darn, my computer's in my office across campus, or it's here, there, anywhere. And so I created, years ago, I found this script and modified it, but it's what I call the phone home script. And it's available on my blog. It's a very simple shell script that will look for a file on really any web service you want to put it on. I put it on my web server, although you could put this file somewhere else, or you could make a trigger somewhere else. My laptop checks every 2 minutes for this file, and if the file appears, It then creates an outgoing VPN connection to my home network. So in practice, I connect my own VPN on my iPhone, put this file on the web server, wait about two and a half minutes, get a little push notification saying, hey, the VPN's connected, and I can then connect up wherever I'm at. I can do whatever I need to do, and then when I'm done, I just delete that file off the web server and disconnect the VPN, and it goes back to being regularly connected without the VPN connection. So a simple way of remotely controlling or being able to remotely control something by basically allowing it to notice that you're calling out to it.
Nice. Nice. You know, this tip reminds me, do you remember, I don't even know if they still publish it. Do you remember the old O'Reilly and Associates hack series? You know, Google hacks,
yes,
Yahoo hacks. This sounds like one of those things that would, you know, fit right into one of those hacks books. And yes, yeah, I love that series too.
That was a great series, and it wouldn't surprise me if years ago this was a hack, and I thought about it years later and went, you know, maybe I should figure out how to do that or something along those lines, because that was a great series. And, you know, this is just what I think of this as is a peace of mind hack, because I often do have the situation on my campus where I have two offices that I work out of, and then I can also take my laptop with me. And I think, you know, I'm going to run over to that area of campus for a while. Do I need to take the laptop? Well, I probably won't need to do anything. I'll just take the iPad and wander over. And then sure enough, I'm over there going, huh, if I had my MacBook right now, or if I had this open, or if I had that open. Or sometimes the MacBook is doing things and I don't want it to, I don't want to have to shut it down or put it in sleep mode and take it with me. But I still want to be able to access it. So,
right. You know, it's funny.
It's a nice way.
We don't feature your many, many, many tips on a, you know, like on a weekly basis. But I was just thinking, it'd be interesting, you know, you could probably assemble a book of just hacks from just stuff you've talked about on this podcast over the years. And they probably all are still, you know, relevant and useful.
I could put together a book that would be The Connected Professor, because that's really what I
like it.
Around.
Yeah.
But...
Well, if you call it The Connected Educator, you could have a bigger audience.
Well, that is true. Everyone uses that term, but you're right. I definitely could. But this is a fun little one to, and you could, of course, adapt this to whatever you want it to do. So it doesn't have to create a VPN connection. It can run any shell script based on if you create a file. What you're basically doing is turning your web server into a command server, you know, that you're able to send instructions to another machine from.
Yeah.
So you have your own little botnet of one computer that you're controlling. But
okay. What, you know, one item that's not in our list, and I was just thinking about it, I was thinking about all the products that, you know, Apple still has. And that's, remember the AirPod Max, the over-the-head headphones? I'm looking at John wearing a pair of over-the-head headphones. They're not AirPod Maxes, but... Are they still around? Did they? I haven't heard.
Yep.
Okay, because I just haven't heard anything about those $500 headphones.
Fairly well, from what I've heard, which is even weirder. So, yeah, I would not be surprised if we see some new version of those at some point soon. Because I don't think those are going to go anywhere anytime soon.
At half the price, I would consider it. At $250, or let's say $225, I don't have any headphones that I've paid. Let me think. Is that true? Yes, the most expensive audio devices I've bought for my ears are my AirPods Pro. I have not bought anything more expensive than these. So I would consider it, if it were $200, which is more than my AirPods Pro, I think. I'd consider it at about $225, let's say. $200, $225. But $500 is just still, yikes.
It is a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Alrighty, well, John... So the one thing I think we both agree on coming up on this Tuesday announcement on the 20th is the iPad Mini 6, if such a thing is announced.
Yep.
And I'm kind of looking through the list again. And an Apple Pencil 3 if it works with the iPad Mini 6. Yeah. I think nothing else really sticks out at me. The Magic Keyboard 2, if it's, well, you know, like everything else at Apple, if it's affordable, more affordable than it currently is. Alrighty. Well, that's it. That's our speculation roundup for the next Apple announcement on the 20th. plus John's tip about laptop. I was going to say lap phone. Laptop phoning home. And next week, we should have a special guest with us. I'm going to check with him to make sure he's available. And we will talk to you next time.